Thank you, Jesus. This is March the 3rd, 2019, Sunday morning. We were in a rush last week, so I started a teaching called Loose the Tithe, Loose the Blessing, and the Lord just said, go back through it. I don't want you rushing. So this is a short teaching, and we'll get on to another subject. First scripture is Malachi 3. You could say, Lord just gave me this. You know, the world looks at investments to get ahead financially. That's their big game. You know, investments that wicked men control, so you never get ahead anyway. So, the devil's here to steal your money, steal your health. Loose the tithe, loose the blessing. Tithe, loose the blessing. But God, when I was standing there, Lord said, your tithe is your investment. You're investing in the kingdom where there's neither moth nor rust nor decay or thieves can break through or steal. So when your money's in the kingdom of God, God can loose it to you at any time. When you make a demand on it, he'll loose it to you. But you don't have to worry about God's bored, taking it, doing something he shouldn't do with it. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You never have to be concerned. It can't be touched. It can't be messed with. All the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds in the world, the Bilderbergs, they cannot touch what you've invested in the kingdom of God. Okay. My question today is, does God have checking privileges with you? You know, Danny was talking about, I guess it was Brother Copeland maybe. Anyway, these men were all getting up at a convention talking about how God is their partner and all this. But the Lord told Brother Copeland, problem is I don't have checking privileges with any of them. Your money's connected to your heart. Do you know that? That's why the love of money is the root to all evil, because it's like money does strange things to men, especially wicked men. We could look around our world today and see what our world's been under since the early 1900s and probably beyond, since the Civil War. What has happened, why we never seem to have been able to get ahead, a few have, but for the most part, so much poverty in the world. The thief. Okay, Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes, it says the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse. That means before taxes is what that says to me, the whole tenth. Not just after the government gets its however much percent out of it. Into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall not destroy the fruits of your he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit for the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. So God is saying, when you bring those things into the storehouse, you honor him, then he will not allow, it says in brackets, insects and plagues, things that would destroy your crops, which today that would be business or your finances. He won't destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit for the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. So there comes into play a protection program upon what you have sown into God's kingdom and what you've entrusted him with. Let me look here just a minute. As I was reading this, something quickened to me and I let it get past me. I want to go back. It says, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Oh, okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I know there's a lot of churches that give a lot of, you know, things out of their church to other ministries and other things like that. But I don't see it that way, and I'm not saying the Lord will never tell me to do that, but I see that the storehouse is to feed the ones in that store, that place. Help the people in the congregation. What good is it to send thousands of dollars every month to people really you don't even know? Isn't it to fund your ministry, your vision, and the people that are working with you in that vision? That's just how I see it, and I may be wrong. I don't know everything, but that just the Lord's quickened that to me many times. I used to support like 10 different ministers personally. Lord had me pull out of all 10. Not saying that's what everybody has to do. You do whatever God tells you to do. But that's just my personal opinion on it, I guess. Or maybe it's the Lord's opinion on it. You judge. What's the storehouse? I think it's where you go. The supply. Where you're receiving the spirit, and the teaching, and all of that. I think sometimes people in the congregation go without. I mean, in the early church, didn't you see that? That's what they did. They had deacons over the distribution of food daily. Where do you think they come out of? The storehouse. Didn't plan to go this route, but that way you never have to get online and look at all these ministers and critique them and have to mull over whether you trust them or not, or they're using God's funds right or wrong. God, I think it puts us in a place that God doesn't want us to be. There's so much of the trashing and the bashing of ministers. Yesterday I came across one that's got a big voice and just saying such awful things about the president. I just thought, how can you live? I'm just going, Lord, how can you stand this? I've got a big church and I'm going, Lord, I can't stand this. Enlighten them. They're not looking. They're not. One of my deepest prayers is this, Lord, that I am reverent for the time. I'm not back in the good old days that weren't good. Back in the charismatic movement, we have to be where we are today and where the Spirit's moving today. Yeah, did we glean things from then? Sure we did. But if we're not relevant for today, if the ministers are not relevant, if it's just that good old time religion, well, what is the good old time religion? The buns on your head, no shaving your legs and no makeup, no wearing no pants for women? Is that the good old days? Is that what we're talking about when we're talking about the good old days and that old-timey religion? Nothing against them. It was the time they were in, the place they were. God met them where they were. But that ain't the place today. It keeps bringing me back to the old school stuff. You know what? The old school that I want is Genesis 1, and God said, light be and light was. There's the school I want to be in. There's the old school, not the cemetery. Oh, Lord, help us today. That's where a lot of traditions get started, and it's passed down that just suppresses the move of the Spirit. It says it nullifies the power of God. But these ministers that get up there and bash our president, I just think you just really don't understand. You do not understand. I prayed for them. Knock them on their, you know what? Wake them up, Lord. Let them see the truth about things. Be relevant for this day. What worked the last 20 years ain't going to work now. Now the word's the word, will always be the word, and it'll never change. But the things that we've done over the last 20, 30, 40 years are not going to work today. It's a new time, and we have to be on the cutting edge and be ready to move with the Spirit as He is accomplishing in this time. Not in that time. We see it didn't work in that time. We've got the biggest, probably, mass exodus out of the church that we've ever seen and ever known. And we've got our church, big, well, they're not Christian churches as far as I'm concerned, Catholic, Mormon. They're being busted because of having pedophilia, even the Baptists. You're going, dear Lord, he's cleaning this church out. He's purging. Okay, just go on. Remember Danny's story last week? That was the one I just told about the guys. Well, I don't have checking privileges with any of them. They say that I'm their partner, but when the rubber meets the road, when I ask something of them, oh no, they have their own thinking about it. That's how you find out if you really, God is really your partner when he says, all right, sell all you got and give to the poor and come follow me. Okay. Is it at your disposal or God's? If things are tight and bills coming in, does this or that scenario change? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. I feel like Jesus when he had the cords and he ran them out of the temple. That's what I feel. He said, the zeal of the Lord has eaten me up. And I appreciate y'all the fact that you are willing to sit here while I let it out. Ecclesiastes 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yes, even to eight, for you know not what evil may come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls toward the south, toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind, and I like what the Amplified says here, and waits for all conditions to be favorable, will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. As you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you know not the work of God, who does all. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hands. For you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. He's talking about an unstable system. True to the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. I don't need to read that. Anyway, the point is, if we observe the circumstances around us to sow, then we will never sow. See, God doesn't walk by that. He doesn't change. He's not up on the throne having a nervous breakdown because the Democrats are doing something this morning or pulling something. They're always pulling something. Because the devil, the spirit, that spirit's behind him. He's always pulling something, always. But God doesn't change. It said, he who sits in the heaven laughs. Come on, get a picture of this. Now we can look at the things of the world and get all wrought up, but the Lord's up there going, you know, I thought, he's dumber than I thought. Really? And his kingdom is that way. You're not going to find any crying, ulcers in heaven. All right. All right, we have to sow and don't look at the circumstances. If the Lord says do it, he is trying to bless you. It's like the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, if you want to follow me, you said you want to be part of the kingdom of God. So if you want to follow me, sell everything you've got and give to the poor and come follow me. Oh, no can do. Couldn't happen. Okay, Matthew 6. I just want everyone to know today, I hate the devil. We're not supposed to hate anybody, but we can hate the devil. God hates evil too. And his day's coming. And then we're going to sit in the heaven and go. Okay, Matthew 6:33. But seek aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. This whole chapter here is about worry. It's about caring about yourselves, looking at the lack. Look at the birds. I take care of the birds. But they're not lacking. Not worrying. Not taking care. How do we seek the kingdom first? Well, first of all, we give. We pay our tithe and give as the Lord tells us to give. So then the care of our finances and our stuff transfers from us to Him. Peter says, cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Because the devil's seeking, you know, like a roaring lion to devour you. And where does he devour you? In your mind. Oh, I don't have money. I don't have the healing I need. I don't have the wisdom I need. What am I going to do? This is that self-care that is the snare that keeps our faith from operating. It's a big one. Okay, now turn over to Proverbs. This is verse 9, 3, 9, and 10. Well, let's do 6. You know what? Let's just read the whole thing. This is such a great chapter here. My son, forget not my law or my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living in tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these should they add to you, so you won't have to worry about your old age. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor, good understanding, high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. Boy, that's a big one right there. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. I remember Danny went to see a pastor here that we were at his church for a time, and he'd was going to make a job switch, and he counseled with Danny. Then he had Danny come back, and he said, I've seen through your tithing how God has led you to your different jobs and your pathway. See, that step of obedience, when you start taking care of God's business and doing God's business, and He gets involved in your business. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. What is evil? Anything that's not God. Natural things He calls evil. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father? Okay. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moisten to your bones. So it affects not just your finances, but your health too. Honor the Lord with your capital and your sufficiency and with the first fruits of all your income. When you get new income, you sow it the first time of new income. God honors that. We looked at Cain and Abel. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. And it says, my son, do not despise or shrink from the chastening of the Lord. His correction by punishment or by subjection to suffering or trial. Neither be weary or impatient about or loathe or abhor His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. So it may seem hard sometimes to make that step and do what He tells you to do, even when our circumstances are not favorable. But in the long run, it pays big dividends. Happy, blessed, fortunate is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. You can't hang with God and not have wisdom. Now, you may hang with some old Joe, and they're just as, dumb as a stump. Or maybe they gamble, maybe they drink, maybe they cuss. But when you hang with God, wisdom. You rub shoulders with God, you can't help but have His stuff rub off on you. Skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you wish for is to be compared to her. Having wisdom about everything that comes into your life, then people would pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars today to be well again, or to be, you know, have situations change. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches honor. The thing that's so great about it, when you give up what you consider your riches and honor God, then He will fill you up with them. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her, and happy, blessed, fortunate, to be envied as everyone holds her fast. I'd be willing to say today, a lot of people, when you come across problems, the biggest problem probably they have is they don't tithe. I know Brother Hagin, he come across some, the Lord speaking to him about, most of the time it's that they don't have a pastor. They're not plugged in where they need to be, and then they don't pay their tithe. They're not even got to the place where God can really do much of anything for them yet. The Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, has established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps break or were broken up, and the skies distill the dew. My son, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound in godly wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your inner self and a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. So he's talking about, like 3 John 2, as your soul prospers, so will your physical body prosper. Then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust. You shall not dash your foot or stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden terror and panic, nor of the stormy blast or the stormy wind of the wicked when it comes, for you will be guiltless. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or hidden danger. So you're probably thinking, man, all that from just tithing and first fruits? Look at that. And people fight tooth and nail not to give up that buck. And look what all this benefit package. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, we're going to look at first fruits for a minute. Exodus 23:19. All right, this is in Moses' day. It says, the first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first of the first fruits. Like in their day, they had a new crop come in. Well, the first crop went to the Lord. The first dividends off of that crop went to the Lord. Then after that, it was theirs. First fruit, you could say, is not tithing. It's first fruit. It stands in a different category. Okay, the first, this is what the Strong says, the first fruits of the crop. Okay, Genesis 4, brought this up a while ago. Cain couldn't understand why God did not receive his offering. Cain brought tithe, Abel brought first fruits. First fruits. This was a first fruit offering. Cain was saying, well, I like that. I don't want to give that up. I want to keep it kind of like Ananias and Sapphira here. At first, they were willing to do it, and then they thought, that sure sounds good. I think I'll keep it and just tell them I did. Okay, Genesis 4, 2. And next she gave birth to his brother Abel, talk about Cain and Abel being born. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant. He looked sad and depressed. So he ended up killing his brother over it. God talks to him and says, you know what? You could do good. You could do it. Sin's at the door, though, if you decide to do evil. And he did. He killed his brother for it. But it indicates to me that his brother, Cain, just brought some fruit from the ground. But Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. The firstborn, his very first lamb in all of his flock. But, you know, I think, well, how am I ever going to get my flock built up if I have to take the first one? That means I'm going to have to wait on what I want and put God first. Okay. All right, I got quite a few scriptures here. They're all about first fruit, and I'm not going to read all of them because of time today. But we're going to go to the New Testament. They're all through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 2 Chronicles, Nehemiah, Proverbs, Ezekiel, all through. You find first fruit. I just looked up first fruit and wrote all the scriptures down. If you want some of them at the end of the service, you can come up and I'll give you some of them. You know what? You'd have to be just really a fool not to tithe. Especially if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you know, you can understand. But to be a Christian and not tithe is just unchristian. Okay, Romans 8, 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits of the Spirit. God gave His best. His Son. Grown inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. And I thought that was interesting. It says a beginning of sacrifice is what the word means there, first fruit, a beginning of sacrifice. He sacrificed His only Son so that He could have many sons. Gave us the Holy Spirit. Okay, Romans 16. I'm just looking at the scriptures in the New Testament that talk about first fruits. A lot of people think, well, that first fruit stuff, that's just Old Testament. They used it quite frequently. It says here in verse 5, remember me also in the church that meets in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was a first fruit, first convert to Christ in Asia. So they made a deal of that. That was a word they used and they recognized. His first convert, his first fruit. Okay, now look over to 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But the fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and He became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. So is the firstborn again. Same word, the beginning of sacrifice. 16:15, Corinthians 16:15. Now, brethren, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts and our first fruits in Achaia, and that they have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of the saints. So you see the symbolism in the Old Covenant of what, talking about first fruits in the New Testament. Converts, God's best. James 1. Do y'all realize that everything that was done in the Old Covenant was a type and shadow of everything that's in the New? And it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. Okay, he considers us first fruits. Okay, the last one's in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Four. These are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women, for they are pure virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are they who have been ransomed, purchased, redeemed from among men as their first fruits for God and the Lamb. Okay, I'll let y'all ponder on that. Do your own study on that. If you want those scriptures, you can come up and get them.